Our speedy Alan is going to come up and share with us the scriptures. You're looking good.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Everybody hear me? No?
Testing.
Okay. I'll be reading in Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for he died, and your life is not hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all, and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through him.
All right. It's okay, Tim. You don't have to do it yet. I'm okay for a bit. You're okay. I just have to... bring my notes along with me. Later on, I'm going to present something up here, but it won't be for a little bit. And thanks, Tim, for thinking of it and thinking of me. And we'll get to that. And... my mind is running a mile a minute, I have to be honest with you. I am just flowing with thoughts and things. The last couple weeks, I don't know what the Lord has decided, but he has decided to fill my mind with many things. But I have control of those things, though. I'm not just like, woo, cuckoo. I have some control through the Spirit to be able to discern what is what. And I believe that in maturity, that's what is to happen for us, is that we can discern what is Satan and what is not Satan, which we should all be growing in. So, putting on, putting off. In your bulletin on the very front, you'll see that right there. But in your bulletin, as we've tested a few things here and tried a couple things, on the one page that's by itself, the insert, if you flip it over, that's the one that has the different times of things. If you flip it over, on there, if you can, please go onto Blue Letter Bible is where this is from, and look at this. If you just write this, type this site in, then it should open up. There is many more. This is a very short piece of it, and I tried to take the best, or I don't know if you'd call them the best, so the ones that I thought would be eye-catching to me. We're going to talk about them a little later, too, and moving into communion. I thought this was beautiful with putting on and putting off, or putting off and putting on. So before we start, though, I believe that we should go to prayer. Thank you, Alan. You are awesome. Thank you for reading the scriptures to us. And Lord, help us to have ears to hear. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for this morning. I thank you that we're here and gathered together from young to old and old to young, and that we can sit together, dine together in communion, and worship together. Amen. And praise your name together. And I just ask that the scriptures would be illuminated to us here today, that we would be enlightened to comprehend and understand in such a way that we would go out to fulfill the great commission that you have called each of us to share the gospel. Not just specific ones, but you have called that we all share the goodness of Christ. Because if we have the goodness of Christ within us, our desire is to long to do so. And Father, help us to learn to. We don't know everything. And we thank you for your Spirit that teaches us, and other brothers and sisters that come alongside and teach us, and for the establishment of the church. I thank you for that, Father. I really do thank you, Father, for each one that's here, and that you've brought each one in here, and you've brought each one in here at this time. And there is a purpose and a plan for each who are in Christ, because that plan is already being accomplished. When we have been made new. Because you are doing a work, and you are going to finish that work for us, and I thank you. So again, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to be soft to your word and to comprehend what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Colossians 3. I know I did a little thing on this too the other day for a devotional at our board meeting. This has just been on my mind, not only here. I have something to announce though. I did read through the Bible. I finally finished my 90-day app, which took me a year almost, I think, to finish my 98-day app. But I've started into my yearly reading, and I feel really good because now I am ahead on my yearly one. Because I've been pursuing to get ahead of it. And before, I always felt like I was struggling and behind. But it's not about the speed that you go at reading your Bible. Read your Bible and pray. Those are major parts. Yeah. So, Colossians. The two verses that we're going to get to is 12 and 14. But we're not going to go into them for too long. But the put on is what we want to see, and the putting off. So I was thinking about analogies, and I had a few analogies. I was looking up some thoughts. I had a few other ideas for analogies to go along with this. But something, young ones too, I'm sure you know this and you learn this in school, a butterfly, everyone kind of knows what happens to a butterfly or how a butterfly comes about. For the most part, I think it's one thing that, I don't know why it sticks, but it seems to stick within public school or homeschool. I'm sure you know more things than that. But the butterfly, and first, before it is the butterfly, it is a caterpillar. And the analogy here with this is that the caterpillar transforms into a beautiful butterfly. But the caterpillar represents our old self, burdened by past mistakes, negative habits, and limited perspectives. It's kind of like our worldview before coming to Christ. The worldview that we have is much different than the worldview we have in Christ. So when we embrace the teachings of Christ, though, it's like entering a cocoon where we undergo a profound transformation, something new, emerging as a butterfly symbolizes our new self, renewed in the likeness of Christ, and then we become filled with something greater, something magnificent, something extravagant, and we have then a real sense of purpose. I'm sure there's other analogies that you guys could think of too, ladies and gentlemen. But 2 points I want to get to through this that should help to understand put off and put on. I'm sure you've noticed the word if throughout Scripture. Has anyone? Put your hands if you've noticed the word if throughout Scripture. It's a good word. There's other words that are good. But if is a conjunction. I'm going to just take it lightly on the English. I don't want to go too far because I am not close to being an English teacher. My wife steps up in that area. It is a conjunction used to say that a particular thing can or will happen only after something else happens or becomes true. I know all your translations don't say if. That's okay, because the point is the conjunction that is happening. Or it is used as well to say that a particular thing can or will happen only after something else happens or becomes true. So if, just read the verse in verse 1 of Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, there is something that is going to happen with seeking. So if you have been raised, then the objective is that you were not raised before, you were down. So you must be brought up. We must die in order to live. One of the major simple or basic concepts of Scripture with salvation, die to rise. Christ went to the grave to rise again. But we still have this flesh that seems to cling so tightly to us. So we need the Spirit and its guidance to fulfill the call of God on our lives. We live in the Spirit and work from the Spirit. This is why the Word is so important to us. We read to find knowledge of the Lord and Savior, to seek His will, and then put into practice what we have come to understand by the Spirit's enablement to understand through God giving it to us. We put on the new self in verse 10. We can see that. If you just flip over, it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And then verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Something I think that is very important, let me stop here for a second with this and just say, you may decide to really study the Word of God when you're going through a trial. Nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But then when the trial stops, you stop studying, or you study here and there. But when you're in the thick of it, you want answers, and you seek the one that you know will give you the answers. But I think the better perspective for us that we should have is that we study the Word of God diligently beforehand, so when the trial comes, we know what to do, instead of being lost and confused. So keep that in your mind when you don't want to read your Bible or want to do something else, like flick through the stations on the TV and think, I just want to rest a little bit. Often I find it's not very restful when you watch TV. I kind of become chaotic in my mind, especially what I watch. I really have to watch myself and make sure that I get the right things in my mind. So hopefully you're getting the right things in your mind. When something is affected, though, by another factor, it undergoes a change. That's something else to think within this. Put on, put off, and change. And if you have been changed, then there will be something that occurs. So put on, put off, and change that must happen. This change can manifest in various ways. It comes out depending on the nature of the influence and the thing being affected. Fundamentally, many areas of Christian life personally grow in relationships, connection with one another. So if there has been a work that happens, then different things will happen within your relationships with people. Connections will happen, or maybe you might be alone for a while because the Lord wants you to learn something so that you trust Him and not man. So leading into my next point, that was what I was just talking to you about. The next one will be change. And there's something exciting we'll get to later that I love that was in here with meaning. If I have died with Christ, then I rise with Christ. Verse 2, it says set. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. So we must set something. So what do we set? Your mind is one thing that it says in the ESV. And there's a transition from the old to the new. Wrong path, right path. We need to change. Change proves there was a transformation. Colossians 3:1, if you remember what it said, notice that it says, seek the things that are above. Verse 2, set your minds on the things above. We seek and we set. Set in English is a verb meaning put or bringing into specific state. Being put or being brought into a specific state. So that is the word set. And it is a verb. If a bone is out of place, I've used this analogy before, it can be set in place. I'm not sure if Kriegler's here, but a doctor knows that it must be set in place, otherwise it will grow crooked. I don't think we want to be having that. So we must set the bone in place, just like we need to be discipled. We need to learn and understand so that it can be straight paths that we're on. So set it into place. So set your mind above. Set your mind in place. Seeking the things of God, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, as we know that verse. I am sure there's some who have King James. And I love all the many translations. So in the King James Bible, and if you have those there with you today, just look at them. The word mind is affection in the King James, which in Greek means think. So the ESV has mind placed instead of affections, which the whole concept is the mind, to think. So if we have encountered Christ, then by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross, Colossians 2:14. We then set our affections, our minds, to think straight, and the more we learn of our Lord, the greater it is. Verse 5, it says in Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. First part there, put again. If something has happened in you, then put to death what is earthly. It should be being put to death because it's what is needed for us. Or it should have been put to death by the work of Christ if you have come to the knowledge of God. So the word put, it is moving something or someone into a stated place, position, or direction. I'm going to read that once again. So the word put, this is English, is moving something or someone into a stated place, position, or direction. So putting off is the same. It is put into a stated place. Hopefully it's away from you instead of still on you. Put on. Put on. Because we have been raised with Christ, we then should set our affections or minds to seek what is above and not earthly. Through this, you have new goals, new purpose, and a character that is being formed into the likeness of your Creator. Verse 8, if you're there, read with me. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Put it off. Do you know what slander means, anyone? You don't have to say, but if you do, I'm happy for you. I'm going to tell you what I found for a meaning in the English with the word slander. To make false words and statements in order to damage a person's character or reputation, this is slander. I don't know about you, but I used to be pretty bad at slandering people. Not that I ran around everywhere slandering, but I did it. That was my old self. My old self wanted to make much of me and make less of others. If you've put off slander, then you have to put something else on. You can't just put off the old. You have to put something else on. I was thinking about the parable, talking about parables this morning. When the house was nicely swept and cleaned up, and the demons were gone, but then they were not sure where to go, out and out, I'm just going to simple, and then they come back to the house that was cleaned with more. If we clean up, we need to put something else within. And this truly is all through the work of the Spirit. I don't want us to ever think that anything we do, we can't, this isn't a bunch of rules here that Paul gave for us to do in order to be Christians. We have been saved by Christ, so if there is a change that has happened, then we must put on something new, because the putting off should already be happening. So do not lie. We have verse 9 that says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Lying is a sneaky little thing, just like gossip. It just seems to just get up right there. It's like that weed that gets in there, and you need some good spray to spray on it and get rid of it, or in whatever form you use, chemicals or organic ones, whatever, rip it out, whatever you need to do. You got to get rid of lying. You got to get rid of gossip. And you got to put something else on. And that's how you get rid of it. You're putting something else on. So put off the old self with its practices. That is the effect of change, is to put off the old and put on the new. Verse 10, it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This verse I got to, and I started looking up all the Greek on this. Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, so forgive me, be gracious on me. When you go through this, it's amazing. The new self is put on. Remember the meaning of put? This is just English. Put into a position or direction. Just stare at this verse if you have to while I say this. Then the rest of the verse, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, the word which in Greek can be who as well. And did you know the word renewed in Greek means change? So I'm just going to ad-lib a little bit to the verse here with those words added in. And have put on the new self, who is changed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Come back to the beginning of Colossians 3:1. I mean, you can go back to the beginning of Colossians. Paul's just pushing it on, not pushing it on us, telling and speaking to us the truth of God and the work of Christ within us. He changes us. There's no work of our own flesh that changes us to stop and put off the old, but we must put off the old, and then we must put on the new. But it is a work of the Spirit, because it's a longing and a desire to want something else that is great and glorious in God's eyes, instead of the old that was slanderous and destructive and destroying to our own lives and everyone else around us. I know that some of us didn't have extreme cases, or, you know, there's always the, this person was a druggie and alcoholic for years, and they come to salvation and they totally changed and everything was totally different. They went to Bible school and they just seemed like perfect little pupils and totally changed their life. That's not always the norm. That happens. It does happen. But there's a work that is a progress going on in each of us. And there may be something that you deal with that is just that, again, nasty thing that is there. Gossip. It seems like it can just rise up. And even though you went, I squished that thing, I'm done with it. But it seems to come back. Maybe you haven't put something else on instead. Instead of gossip, Try to find something else biblically, and that's why I gave you these papers too, was to get that across, is that there has to be something else you put on. Otherwise, Satan will come along and he will deceive you. And if you're not discerning the spirits of, if it's Satan or God, the spirit speaking to you in your heart, or if it's Satan coming along and whispering those lies of deception, you're not going to know. And Satan wants to destroy. He wants you to be fooled. So, let's keep moving here. Change. He changes us. So, King James in verse 12. I'm going to read this to you as well. Follow along. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowls of mercy. I always want to say bowels. I don't know why whenever I see that. Bowls of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's the King James. Put therefore, or put on therefore. The reason I like the translation here is because specifically it says therefore. And I love when therefore is placed within the scriptures. Therefore, meaning in light of something beforehand, the beforehand is pointing to all of Christ, who is all and in all. He is all and in all. Christ, through the Spirit, dwells within us who have believed in the name of Christ. We are His children. We are elect children of God. We are chosen children of God. Colossians 1:13, let me remind you, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. These are true words. These are not false, little, beautiful, little sayings. These are true, factual words. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of His beloved Son. Transformation. Completion. But there's still the flesh, right? We're still in the flesh. There's a kingdom that we're going to be within. And we must study the Word to know God. I mean, we don't want to get there and go, is that God? I don't know. That wouldn't happen in general, because everyone will know and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We know that. But we want to get to know our Lord, because we're going to be spending eternity. This is a very momentous, this is a very small or minute time that we're here on earth. There is eternity when we'll be with the Lord. I don't often think that we really think about it, or maybe you do. I hope you do. But it really is. And I think that that would help us when we're in hard circumstances to go, this is just for a time. Lord, what do you want to teach me? What are you showing me? Be gracious to me, because I know you are a gracious God and your justice is good and it is right and true to make peace for His people. Everyone who has been transferred to the kingdom has been called to something greater and grander, to become the likeness of Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ, consider the old self. Consider it. Look at it and its ways, and put on the new self, which is being changed into the likeness of Christ. So as elect, we are chosen. So put on then, here's a nice put on for us, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. As you read through Scripture, you'll often see the word patience. Verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I know it's a little bit different than some other translations too there, but I was stuck on this for a bit with myself. Must forgive. And it's not because I don't want to forgive or anything like that. I just saw the word and was really reminded. Forgiveness is very important, because it's the forgiveness of God that was given to us. He forgave us our sins and trespasses because of His Son and the work of His Son and the shed blood of Christ that has covered us. So if Christ forgave you, then you must reciprocate the same love. Otherwise, I often question, have you come to know your Lord and Savior? If you can't show grace, but at the same time, the Lord is working within us, and I'm not going to point out your heart because I cannot see your heart as Christ could. He knew all thoughts, and I do not. So the Lord knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. If If you understand the grace of God, then you must walk in the likeness. But this comes with practice and learning, in order that when a trial comes, you are ready. Remember my example that I gave earlier with trials when they come. You study the Word of God diligently beforehand, so when the trials come, you can face them with strength, not of your own ability, but strength that is given to you through the Spirit. This comes. You'll get it. You'll get it. We all will get it. And I'm sure there's many who have gone many years and could give us lots of insight. This is why it is so important, though, that we bear with one another, that we stay close, stay knit together. I always think about the shield analogy. Imagine arrows coming at you, and I see movies all the time, and arrows coming, and they put up their shield, and you see other ones where then they protect the other ones, so they're all enclosed. We must protect our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we slip, and we are not very protective. And it doesn't mean that then we come with the club and we go, I'm going to beat you because you were not protective to me. That's not what the point is. We are to forgive. So, again, I'm going to give you some more, a little more Greek. Do you know the meaning of bearing? So in Greek, it is to lift, to esteem, to bear with. And here's the word I mentioned earlier, be patient. Be patient. Be patient with your brother and sister in Christ. And when we share the gospel, we're to be gentle too. We're not coming to beat people, but truth sometimes can hurt. It's a fact. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't say truth, but we don't come to beat people. Be patient. Bear one another's burdens, but be careful that you too do not fall into sin. In this verse, we have the word forgive here. In 13, we have forgive. But if we didn't forgive, what's your first thought if you don't forgive someone? What's going to come from that, from unforgiveness? I think of bitterness right away. You become very bitter. And maybe you've been around someone who's very bitter. Or maybe you've been very bitter. Bitterness eats at you, and it destroys. I mean, you could really say everything. It destroys your relationships, your connection with the Lord, your connection with unbelievers, your connection with believers. It just destroys, and it eats you. It's kind of like it's eating you alive. So bitterness brings out the old self. Slander, belittling, and making others feel less important, only to make oneself feel better. Verse 14. And above all these, put on love, with which binds everything together. There's our word binds. Binds everything together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourself with the goodness of God. So now if you've been changed by the work of the grace of God, put in action what needs to happen. Put on the new self. Day to day, practice by setting your affections on knowing Him. Because the byproduct of love is a gift. So if I study to know my wife, I will find ways to please her. You can use that for men. Let me explain that again. You can use that as well for wives with your husbands. And other ways you can use that as well. If I seek to please my wife, I'm going to find out her affections. I'm going to find out maybe some strongholds that are going on in her life. And I am to be a protector for my wife. That is what the point of a husband is. Adam did not protect his wife in the garden. He was right there. His wife goes and partakes of the fruit that they were to not partake of. And then the blame game starts. As a husband, I must seek to know my wife, to be a care to her. So if we then take that and think about us with our Lord and Savior on how we want to know Him so that we can please Him, we will. We will please Him because He has set in place that we will do good works and they will glorify Him and not bring glory to our name, but glory to His name. So if you have your paper there, Tim, I'm just going to switch over on this. That little paper that I was telling you about that was on the other side, we will get there with this. Oh, I made a knot. Whoops. That'll work. So, if you can switch the projector. If not, then we will forego and not do this. Is that me? Why is it not bringing it up, Tim? I need help, Tim. I had it all set. So, while he's getting that, though, in your little paper, like I said before, I brought out as many that I could that are very important. It's in this guy here. But I brought out as many as I could that are important within it. Bitterness, which I love, is right there. Bitterness, right at the top of your paper. Tenderheartedness is what you should put on, and forgiveness. I wanted to bring this up because I'm going to bring some of the verses out for you. But tenderheartedness, tenderhearted. Thank you, Tim. We are blessed with Tim. Oh, you can have your remote, Tim. I won't keep it. So, tenderhearted and forgiving. I got to find it. Where is bitterness? There it is. Do you guys see it? There we go. Can you see that, or do I need to go bigger? I know we got some eyes don't work as good as they used to. How's that? Okay. I see some. What's that? Okay. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, there's our root example, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is all King James too. So bear with the old English, that is good too. But then the next thing, so tenderheartedness, this is the thing that we then are to put on. Ephesians 3:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Impatience. So here's the old. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We will receive the promise in eternity that is given to us and made right in Christ. Now, you can go on through here to hatred, to murder, to gossip, and with hatred you put on love, as we talked about love earlier. And love binds everything together. So if you have hatred, put on love. It's hard to not hate someone. I get it. It's hard. If someone's really hurt you, there is a longing within that flesh that wants to destroy that person. We think justice, as Diane brought up today too, often justice comes up. I love your example that you said with justice, that we think that someone must pay. You got to pay for this. But God, with his son, paid the price that we could live. He appeased the wrath of God so that we could have the greatness of God. Discontent goes through here. Gossip. And if you go presumptions on the future, just if you have no internet or you don't know how to use it, that's okay. Take this and read the scriptures in your translation. Look at them. Put off and put on is what I want to get to with all of this. Jealousy. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Envying. Here's another one. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth, I think is how you say that. Vaunteth? Yes, that sounds better. Thank you, English people. Not itself. Is not puffed up. I'm going to stop with that. But I want to say, if we were more likely to know our God, we would be less likely to point out things we don't like about others, because we would see how much work we need. I really do encourage you to read this, to look at it, put on something new. Discipling is important, and disciple keeping is very important. Amen. We can make disciples, but we need to keep them by discipling. And when we believe in Christ, we have become a disciple of Christ. And this is why the body is so important. We need each other to be able to put on. Encourage one another. Don't come along and try to point out everyone's wrongs. It is easy to point out people's wrongs. It's simple. Someone could point out all my wrongs probably today here this morning, or things that I did, or point out things that I should have did instead of this or that. We can easily point things out. But how quick are you to put on things that are righteous in the eyes of God before you go and try to tell people what you think they should do or change? So, if anything, let the seed in the work of Christ work it within you, because the flesh has been put off. It's already been put off. So put on. Put on the newness of God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to pray, and we're going to join together in communion. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for Tim's help this morning with this. We only took a minute or two with looking at this, but I thank you that he was able to quickly come and help. And I thank you for everyone this morning that has been here. These words here in the scriptures, Father, I just ask that they would work within us the new life that we say we have. And if we are questioning, if there is a believer here going, I just don't even know, all these years I've never put on anything new, I've just kept my old flesh, that they would run to you. And that we as brothers and sisters would come and we would grasp them, we would pick them up, we would lift them and bring them close. And just in this moment, Lord, I'm reminded of Matthew Henry. And when he said, the man was created, and from the man was the rib, and it's almost like it was close to the heart that the woman was taken from the man to be created. And that the woman should then be brought close to the man to be cared for in marriage. But the same thing happens within the church, is that you bring us close. You bring us near. So please help us to help one another. Please help us to help and be gracious to one another. I thank you for each that are here. And I thank you for the communion that we're going to partake in. And I thank you for the men that are coming to give a hand to distribute. In Jesus' name, amen.